You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday to you and you and you. Welcome in to the Locked On Kings podcast. Hope you made it through a tough Monday with no Kings basketball at the end of it. Yes, today as well, no Kings for us to enjoy this evening. However, they do return home for a matchup against the Toronto Raptors beginning tomorrow night. So allow me to get you through one more day of no Kings basketball, at least in the short term, with all that I'm bringing here to the Locked On Kings podcast today. An interview for you coming up, as well as some comments on a recent Ringer article that came out in regards to Marvin Bagley. We have a lot to talk about here today on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you are new here and you are looking for a hub for Sacramento Kings conversation every single day, weekdays, you can cash in on this platform right here, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Locked On Kings, where you can hear Kings conversation, news, highlights, updates, interviews. We have it all right here for you, and I have the absolute pleasure of being your host. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. My name is Matt George, by the way, in case you didn't know. I work at KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings, as a radio host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I have, like I said, the privilege of being able to host this podcast. I took it over for Jason Ross, who is a host at KHDK and a member of the Kings radio broadcast team. So you should recognize that name if you call yourself a Kings fan. And it is a blast for me to every single day talk Kings basketball with all of you fantastic people out there. I appreciate every Kings fan that calls this their home and their hub, and I hope you continue to enjoy as we go through another day of a long but exciting 2018-2019 NBA season. Damian Barling, who is the host of The Lowdown on KHDK, is coming back to the Locked On Kings podcast today. I had him on a couple of months ago, and we discussed especially in detail about Willie Cauley-Stein. And one of the things he said that was that he wanted to learn more or really see what Willie Cauley-Stein would be and who he could be for this Kings team, especially being the fact that he was on a contract year. So I have that follow-up interview for you today. We sat down yesterday and had a good conversation about Willie and what we've seen so far. You're going to like Damian's comments, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But before we get to that, an article came out today from The Ringer. Now, I hosted KHDK's morning show, The Drive, with Kyle Madsen this morning, and we had a guest from The Ringer on, but it was not the author of this article. From The Ringer, the article was titled, "The Sacramento Kings Have Found the Blueprint, But It's Leaving Someone Special Behind." It's written by Jonathan Tarks, and this article really highlights how the Kings are figuring out a system that is working and an identity that is working, especially with their starting lineup. But Marvin Bagley, the number two overall pick for the Kings, isn't really a good fit, and the Kings are not moving in the right direction to maximize his potential and what he can bring to the table if he were to be substituted or moved into the Kings starting lineup right now. I'm going to read you one excerpt from this article and then respond to it. I encourage you to go check it out. I disagree almost wholeheartedly with the majority of this article. However, that does not stop me from reading it and taking in the opinion and considering it. And I encourage everybody to do that, even if there is something that you disagree with or an article that you don't think is accurate or right, or is maybe from someone who has a completely different perspective from you. I still highly encourage you to go and check it out, read it, and listen to it if it's in any kind of written or audio or podcast format, and just take the time to soak it in and consider it, and then counter it if you disagree, and try and figure out why you counter it. And I promise you, you'll learn a lot from it. But here is an excerpt from the article, and it begins with, "Sacramento has found a formula it can build on. The question is whether it will. Marvin Bagley III, the number two overall pick in this year's draft, doesn't fit easily in the new starting lineup. While his per-minute stats are comparable to early frontrunners in the Rookie of the Year race, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, and DeAndre Ayton, putting him in a major role may mean scrapping what the Kings have done well this season. They may have to choose between their promising new blueprint and their highest drafted player in 29 years. So what he's talking about in terms of the blueprint of the Kings finding success is using Nemanja Bjelica at the starting four and using him on the perimeter to provide stretch four scoring, outside shooting, and ultimately spacing the floor so that guys like De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein can have room in the lane and on the block to be successful. His take or his suggestion in this article is that if you were to substitute Bagley into this system that's working for the Kings right now instead of Nemanja Bjelica, you would be going away from what was working because Marvin Bagley is not as good of a three-point shooter and is more known for his offense around the rim than his offense on the perimeter. Now, Marvin Bagley is shooting 50% or over 50% from three-point range, which is fantastic, but he does not shoot a high volume of threes, very similar to what he did for the Duke Blue Devils in his freshman season there. So I understand what he's saying. And in a nutshell, he's actually correct. If Marvin Bagley were to replace Nemanja Bjelica today in the Sacramento Kings starting lineup, offensively, the Kings would probably drop off a little bit because Bagley is not as consistent of a three-point shooter, obviously, as Nemanja Bjelica is, and teams won't respect his outside jumper nearly as much as they respect Bjelica. So yes, it would have an effect on how the offense is running and what is working right now for the Kings, which is not a false statement. However, and I tweeted this out earlier, and you can follow me on Twitter or interact with me on Twitter anytime at MattGeorgeKHDK if you so wish. But this article, in my opinion, is operating under the idea, and really it's a fallacy, that many fans share in regards to expectations for a number two overall pick. Just because he is the best draft pick that the Kings have had, or the highest draft pick, I should say, that the Kings have had in the last 29 years, does not mean that he immediately needs to be plugged into the system as a starter, as a bulk minute guy, and get the opportunity to become a centerpiece, an anchor, and a star. He does not have to. Now, the fallacy that this article is operating under is that the Kings have a limited window to plug Marvin Bagley in order to maximize his potential and his development. Marvin Bagley, at 19 years old, is learning a lot of the game, and the game is slowing down for him, or starting to slow down for him, hopefully, in so many different areas. These are things that he can learn and maximize and understand and develop in the current role that he has coming off the bench. There is no hindrance to Marvin Bagley's future and the kind of player, the potential player and star that Marvin Bagley can be for this team going forward by bringing him off the bench, especially after just 10 games. Oh, and by the way, during those 10 games, the Kings are off to their best start since 2006. I mean, this team is playing well, they're succeeding, and Marvin Bagley is putting up good numbers as a volume scorer off of the bench, and he's playing in meaningful competitive minutes. Now, if you started him consistently, let's say, and the Kings drop off, they fall behind, and they're losing games by double digits more often than not. Let's say they start the season with him in the starting lineup, and they start 3-10. Even though he'd be getting more minutes, I would argue that those minutes would be less valuable because the game would be put away, or the game, it would be more of a blowout, aka you wouldn't be always facing the best of your opposition. Marvin Bagley has and is already shown to be learning and developing in his current role. And more importantly, while he is developing, this Kings team is winning games now. There is no reason to suggest or believe that the Kings are sacrificing Bagley's development for wins. Nor is there any reason to believe that it would be better for the Kings right now to sacrifice wins in order to give Bagley more minutes when, quite frankly, he's not ready for them. So the article, like I said, in essence, is correct. If you would put Bagley or plug him into the starting lineup right now, you would probably get a significant offensive drop-off from what's been working for the Kings, especially with the hot hand of Nemanja Bjelica. However, bringing Bagley off of the bench in his current role is not stopping him from becoming or maximizing his potential. Just because at 19 years old, through the first 10 games of this season, he's not starting, doesn't mean that 2 years from now, he can't be a consistent star starter for this Kings team and the number two option alongside De'Aaron Fox. I think it's this article is a good example of impatience mixed with overreaction. That after 10 games of the season, we're already concerned, or people are already concerned, that Bagley isn't the right fit for a system, especially when he's 19 years old and the system itself isn't completely established because the core of it is a young player, a young point guard at 20 years old. To suggest that there's concern there already is wrong. And it's just a blatant overreaction. I like the article overall. I think I understand the point of it and its premise. However, I don't think it's nearly as concerning as the author or as fans who are reacting to it are making it out to be. But I encourage you again, if you disagree with it or if you agree with it, read it, soak it all in, learn from it, and develop your own thoughts and your own opinion. Don't just take my word for it, or don't just take everybody's word for it, or an expert, quote-unquote, word for it, based off of their reaction. Pleasure to be joined by a co-worker of mine from Sports 1140 KHDK, one of the hosts of the fantastic midday show, The Lowdown, on the KHDK airwaves. You can catch it every single day from noon to 3. The Lowdown, hosted by Jason Ross, former host of this podcast, and this gentleman, Damian Barling, joining me, also the host of the Be Conscious podcast, which you'll hear more about towards the end of the interview. But Damian, this is your second time back on the Locked On Kings podcast, at least recently. In our last conversation, we talked a lot about Willie Cauley-Stein, which is one of the major reasons why I wanted to have you back on, because I was curious, because one of the questions you posed was, do we know what Willie Cauley-Stein is, and are we going to find out who he is, especially now that he is on a contract year? Through 10 games now this season and preseason, are you ready to answer that question, or do you still need a little more time?
No, I still need a little bit more time. First of all, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Give me a little bit more time, though. I do appreciate his consistency. I went back, I think it was last year. He had a couple of stretches last year. One of them, I think, went for like 17 games, where he was really consistent. There may have been one or two in there where he only had like maybe the 10 points and the 8 rebounds or something like that. But in terms of we didn't see him disappear, which I think that has been where a lot of the fear from Kings fans has been, is we would see him disappear at times on the floor. That certainly hasn't been the case this season. I think he's been incredibly consistent so far this season, and overall happy with how he's played. I'm still, you know, I mean, you know, what are we, 6-4? So 10 games into the season when we're recording this. So I like what I've seen, and I'm very, very happy with it. But let's check in, you know, between games 40 and 50 and between 50 and 60 and see what he looks like then.
So we've seen this before. Willie Cauley-Stein got off to a really great start last year as well, was the Kings' leading scorer for a while. He was the Kings' leading scorer on opening night against the Utah Jazz, so kind of deja vu there a little bit. But the difference between last season and this season, at least for him, motivation-wise, is the contract year. He's seen Clint Capela get paid. He's seen other athletic bigs all around the league. DeAndre Jordan's gotten paid. So he recognizes that there is still a market for him, despite it being a quote-unquote guard league.
Sure.
Is it a fair criticism from Kings fans, or is it fair to hold that against him a little bit, be skeptical, like, okay, are you just giving us this now because you're getting paid? What happens once you get the paycheck? Do you go back to the inconsistent Willie?
It's a fair concern. Your question was, is it fair? Yes, it is a fair concern. But if it is, like, if he's balling out because it's career year, if he's worked his butt off all off season because it's his contract year, excuse me, and he's producing the way he is, that's a positive for the Kings, and it's a positive for the Kings fans. The front office is going to have to address his contract in the offseason. So no matter how well he plays, I think you can't ignore the first part of his career.
Sure.
Like, no matter how great he plays this year, and I know it's easy for me to say, but no matter how great he plays this year, you can't ignore year 1, 2, 3, 4. You just can't pretend like it didn't happen because he had such a great year when his contract was running out. So is it fair? I don't think fans should be critical because you're not losing anything from it.
Yeah.
And the other good thing, I think, is as great as Willie's playing, or is as good as Willie is playing, he's not the best player on the team. And I think that that's good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's good for him, it's good for the Kings. And if it's good for the Kings, then obviously it's good for the Kings fans. But our idea headed into this season, and the biggest thing that we wanted out of it, was De'Aaron Fox being the face of the franchise. And here we are 10 games in, where if only one question has been answered, it is De'Aaron Fox is the absolute face of the franchise. And I think that helps Willie Cauley-Stein. He doesn't have to be the man. He needs to go out there and be productive. He needs to go out there and play his game. He needs to go out there and play his role. And as long as he does that, And De'Aaron continues to be the man. It's good things for the Kings.
So you hit the nail on the head for me, because I think one of the biggest blessings and curses for Willie was the DeMarcus Cousins trade. It was a blessing because it gave him more opportunity, but it was a curse for the same reason. He himself said that now he gets to show his offensive side, and that was something he was excited about, except it brought him away a little bit from the fundamentals of what you wanted him to do as an athletic big, which is grab rebounds, block shots.
Or perhaps it was an offensive sign that wasn't fully developed yet.
Sure.
And given that he was sitting behind one of the best bigs in the league at the time.
And I'm glad you brought up De'Aaron Fox specifically, because I think that was a major leap for him as well. You said you thought it was a good thing that he's not the best player on this team in the face of this franchise. And you heard from De'Aaron specifically, him saying a lot last summer that it's all about he wants to be the leader and he wants to be the guy that everybody listens to. Willie and everybody else have acknowledged mm-hmm. him as such going forward, which I think was a good positive thing for him. I'm just curious about the consistency. Now, we're seeing him do better rebounding. There's still questions about him blocking shots. Do you still want to see more in specific areas from Willie Cauley-Stein?
Oh, yeah. I want to see more everything from him, because I think he has the tools to be a really, really, really good player in the league, particularly at that position. He has a skill set that is so perfect right now for the way the Sacramento Kings are playing. They're running. They have a point guard that can run and I feel like you have to say, quote unquote, center in the league that can run. So having players at both of those positions that can get up and down the floor the way that they do, I want to see Willie's assist totals go up. I want to see Willie's offensive rebounds go up. I want to see Willie take advantage of every single exhausted player that is down there on the block, because the Sacramento Kings had been running them for 43 minutes when those crunch time games come around to the final minutes of the game.
One of the things I really liked that I saw out of Willie was his aggressiveness and going after certain players that you would consider have the advantage over him. Rudy Gobert comes to mind on opening night. He seemed to have a problem at first with Hassan Whiteside in Miami, then figured it out, ended up being the Kings' leading scorer in that win. And he said as much during his post-game press conferences that he's not really afraid of anybody, and the game has slowed down for him, and he's learned a lot more and had a lot more time to develop, and he feels like he's working on things now that make sense for his game. It's not so much about just doing the fundamentals in a gym, because that's what you're told to do. Now he recognizes, okay, I'm doing this, and this is the result that I'm getting out of mm-hmm. it. What is it about Willie Cauley-Stein's attitude and mindset? Have you noticed a change at all with him over these last few games or into this season?
I haven't. No, I think he has a unique personality, and he's just him. I think this system works for him. I think what's helping him the most is, and this is my impression, I certainly haven't asked Dave Yeager or Jason March or anyone this, but it feels like the Sacramento Kings had an idea of what they were going to do with this team and with this roster, and they implemented it. From the moment they stepped on the floor for their very first practice for the California Classic or for Summer League or for preseason or for whatever, they said, this is what we're doing. And that helped Willie. There wasn't a midsummer adjustment. There hasn't been an early season adjustment. It was, guys, this is what we're doing, and this is how we're going to do it. I don't think it's been a change in Willie's attitude. I think it's been a change in the approach by the Sacramento Kings and the way that they're playing this year. And it's benefited everybody. Willie's not just – Willie's benefiting, and I know, you know, we're talking because Willie was a previous focal point of our conversation. But when you look at the maturation of some of the Sacramento Kings, it's De'Aaron first. It's Buddy second.
Yeah.
And then it's Willie. And everything that Willie is doing is just fine. And they're quite honestly all the things that we expected. I haven't seen Buddy play like this since Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm happy about this season, in addition to what De'Aaron has been able to do to emerge to what I believe, like, not, you know, at the time, he's the face of the franchise. When this team gets better, he's an NBA superstar caliber player, personality wise, game wise, looks wise, marketability wise. He has everything it takes to be an NBA superstar. So those are all positive things, but they are all directly correlated to what the Sacramento Kings appeared to have wanted from the beginning. And it's just benefiting the players now. And because they know what they're doing and they know their role and they're able to use their strengths in these positions. That's why we see Buddy looking like he did at Oklahoma. That's why we see De'Aaron Fox just getting up and down the floor. That's why we see Willie getting up and down the floor.
you're a man of a lot of interests, and from my experiences working with you, you're a guy that hates being told to stay in your lane or stick to one thing, stick to sports or stick to anything like that. And I've seen a lot of people hold Willie Cauley-Stein's interests against him in different ways. The fact that he likes to paint or he's into fashion or he likes to express himself in other ways and he's not just basketball only 100%. I've seen fans hold that against him, questioning how much he loves the game or how much time he's actually putting into the game and effort he's putting into the game because of those other interests. Where are you at with players and athletes in general that have that other side to them?
Well, I think you're a brilliant interviewer and that you're asking a question you already know the answer to. That's silly. It's silly to, like, we think because we watch basketball or football that particular athlete is, because we only know them as that. We only know this person as a basketball player. So that's the only way we think about them is as a basketball player. I love Willie's interest. I love that Willie doesn't post workout videos of himself. Like, that's not a knock on anyone who does, but to me, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to post videos of yourself working out. Like, if he uses his social media accounts to post his fashion line, his Kings hats or his regular hats or whatever it may be, more power to him, man. That doesn't affect and shouldn't affect his game. You see the way Russell Westbrook is an MVP. Mm-hmm. Anybody think Russell Westbrook's singular focus in life is basketball? LeBron James, greatest basketball player on earth. He just had a show debut on Showtime yesterday. He's got shows on Showtime and HBO. As just a TV person, do you know how hard it is to get a show on two competing networks? And he's got shows and series on both of them. Anybody telling LeBron James to stick to basketball other than you know who?
Yeah.
No. And he's doing just fine as a basketball player.
I have no,
anyone who holds that type of stuff against him or anyone, any athlete, is silly.
Not to mention LeBron's doing movies now too, is attending and helping his son develop as a basketball player, and on top of that, he's opening schools in Ohio,
right,
and doing
exactly
other stuff like that. So I did know the answer to that,
but I wanted to get your
take on that. But last thing, let's talk about one more thing involving Willie, the basketball player. Looking at his numbers now, I know it's very early to tell, so I'm asking you to look into the crystal ball a little bit, but let's say he kept these numbers up by the end of the season, 15 points on 57% shooting, 8 rebounds and 2 assists a game with a block there as well. Is that enough for you to go out and say, you know what, the Kings should match almost relatively, as long as it makes sense, almost every offer they get? Would you personally, if you're Vlade, pay the guy and do everything you could to bring him back? It's so tough, I know. But based off the numbers, now we're just having a numbers conversation.
Right now, but those numbers right now are translating to wins.
Correct.
I mean, to the tune of, 6-4.
Maybe I can reform the question. What does it
take? No, I understand the question. I just don't know how to answer
it.
So
I'm trying to give you an easier way. What would it take for you to say, okay, I'm comfortable with bringing him back?
Well, I'm comfortable bringing him back, period. The question is the dollar figure.
Right.
Like, is he a max player? Like, you brought up Clint Capella and names like that, and it's like, well,
I don't think he is.
I don't know, but I also know, like, Chris Paul does a fantastic job of making Clint Capella a max player.
I agree.
So if De'Aaron Fox has the Chris Paul effect on Willie Cauley-Stein, hell, do it.
Yeah.
You're going to have the money to do it. If you're Vlade, you're going to have the money to do it. So you could do it. How did the Sacramento Kings do in attracting big money free agents this year? They may have had the bargain free agent of the signing, at least through 10 games, in Nemanja Bjelica.
Right.
So if that continues to be the trend, it's like, okay, we're watching Sacramento. We see what they're doing. We're not sure yet, but we've got our eye on them. So maybe this isn't their year. You have 60-ish million this year free. I don't know about a max for Willie, but if you continue to get this run out of De'Aaron and Willie, and you know De'Aaron is the cornerstone of your franchise moving forward, maybe it's not such a bad idea because he can play the role of Clint Capella here moving forward.
D, I appreciate you taking the time. Before you go, though, not only do you host the Lowdown on KHDK, but you also host a fantastic podcast called Be Conscious, which branches a little bit away from sports, but you still tie sports into it in an awesome way. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what Be Conscious is all about if they don't listen, and why they should, really?
Well, Be Conscious, yeah, it's definitely kind of like my own. It's a unfiltered access into my mind at sometimes and stuff that sometimes it does pertain to sports. Like, we did a week-long series on the political events of the 60s that led to athletes using their platforms then and how that grew into how they use them here today.
Which was awesome, by the way.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I had a lot of great help that week. And then, you know, we cover everything from whether it's politics and sports or politics, period. We have a midterm election going on. That's going to be a huge focal point of our conversations coming up. We also have an interview coming up with Dr. Rothstein, who wrote a book called The Color of Law that talked about segregation laws that were implemented, you know, 100 years ago that still there are still ramifications for those today. So it's a far cry from what we do from 12 to 3, though I don't shy away from mentioning these things on the show. And I do cross over into sports a lot. You know, had a long discussion about Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed in the NFL's Players Coalition. But it's just a different avenue to talk about aspects of life that sometimes makes people a little bit uncomfortable.
Check out the Be Conscious podcast. Check out the Lowdown on KHDK. Check it all out right now. You're going to want to give Damian Barling a follow on Twitter as well. He's a fantastic personality here in Sacramento, and he cares more just about the ball bouncing and going into the basket. So check out all of his great work. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Damian, thank you for coming back, taking the time. We'll do it again very soon.
Always a pleasure.
My thanks to Damian Barling for appearing once again on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And if you want him back, let me know. You can reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. That's also a great way to get in touch with me if you're interested in being part of November's Fans Only podcast episode. So be sure to send that in as well. Also, if you get a free second, to head over to iTunes or any other area that you listen to, or where however you listen to this podcast, if there's an area of comment section to leave a review or your thoughts on this podcast, that helps us out a lot. Helps me grow as a podcast host. Helps us grow as a podcast forum in general, the Locked On Podcast Network as a whole. We all learn from that, soak that information up, and use it to improve. You can say really anything, good, bad, does not matter. Matter it's fair, and we learn from it. And we hope to use it as long as it's constructive and it can help us in the future. So I thank you to everybody for listening to another episode of Locked On Kings podcast here, the Tuesday edition. Tomorrow we will be back for a preview of this Kings and Toronto Raptors game in Sacramento. Hope to see you out there at the Golden One Center for that one. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.